July 2nd meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands on the nation under God, indivisible, free and just.
Will the clerk please call the roll call?
Hewitt. Deputy Chair Walz.
Here.
Legislator Donaldson, I'm sorry.
Here.
Legislator Green.
Present.
Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
And Legislator Stewart.
Okay. Going to get the approval for the June 4th, 2024 meeting minutes. And if there's any discussion on the minutes or the meeting.
I will second, but I have a comment on the minutes. In the section of the minutes that describes new business, there's a discussion of the CMRR herbicides and waivers and a discussion of the new CMRR air quality reports. And it says, Chair Hewitt received an air quality report from CMRR, and the good news is the county can celebrate its progress and our ability to make some changes with local companies that might be polluting, and now that's veggie diesel, they have great numbers about the improvement in emissions. I think that's accurate.
Okay.
But I would like to suggest that we amend the minutes so that even though this part is accurate, it does not include the discussion that followed after that, which included discussion about nitrous oxides, which are not addressed by veggie diesel. So I'd like to suggest that we amend the minutes to end after Chair Hewitt received an air quality report from CMRR, period. We discussed it. I think if we're going to put anything in the minutes, it would need to be either the full discussion or it'd be better not to have just one view represented as though that was the entire discussion.
Okay. Why not add the full discussion? Then it's in the minutes and it's...
Well, if you want to hold on approving these minutes and let the clerk for the committee go back and look and maybe provide
a
fuller.
I'll talk to you after and then we'll do that. That's fine.
So I would make a motion that we postpone consideration of the June 4th minutes until the next meeting.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor of opposed?
Yes. Catching up.
All right, at this time, we're going to have a presentation from Greenway Environmental Services. Thank you. I'd like to introduce Shabazz Jackson.
Josephine is going to start.
Okay.
And just a one-piece part.
Okay.
Team, yeah.
Great.
You may not know that we've been doing this for 50 years of composting. So we've learned, we're cured, or whatever that is. We gave a kind of an update because I know that this is a project that a lot of people have their eye on. And we initially met with Hurley, town supervisor, and the board in November of 2022. And we are patient, if nothing else. It took a long time to get that contract where it was acceptable to both parties. And we got that. And we signed that contract May 31st of this year. And we kind of hit the ground running because we knew that this was a real small window to get this all accomplished. And we have done research initially. We know how many people have tickets to go to the transfer station and utilize it. They have resident and non-resident people using their transfer station. To me, it was surprising how many they have, you know, that many people are actually utilizing that service. I don't know what the other transfer stations are like, so I had nothing to base it on. We conducted a really formal, professional, which we have done years of this. We did an inspection of the transfer station according to the Part 360 regulations. We really went through piece by piece, and there's things that need to be either fixed or repaired, changed, whatever, but nothing, no big showstoppers. But we want that transfer station to be at its best operation, because we're going to bring in food waste. And in order to do that, you have to be fully in compliance with all of the regulations. Also, at the same time, we're really getting into the community, and we have households that have signed up to do the waste audit, which will tell us just how much food waste can be diverted from your average households. And in the process of doing that, the people that we've signed up to do the audit have already said, you know what, I want to have my own composter. So we've actually installed 4 composters in these backyards, and we have more to come. People are starting to sign up for it. I think it's a really important sign of the times that people, there's a lot of stuff. They get it. They don't want to have their waste sitting out in a curb rotting. They get the issue with solid waste. It's kind of, you know, to hear people on the street, it's something that kind of, maybe you guys won't know this, but what else are we doing? Establishing the backyard composting. We're working with the town board right now to identify sites, which most of you saw, similar to what we have down in that New Paltz Reformed Church site. That's a winner. We're up to about 50 families. It's all volunteer. Everybody follows the rules. There's no contamination. There's no flies, no odors, no vectors. It is a model, and the DEC has approved it for 1,000 pounds a week. So if you think about how many of those you could cite, you'd be pulling out, you know, 24 tons a year of just wet food waste. So that's the Hurley update. It's not a lot to tell you at this point, because we're really in the research piece and boots on the ground. We're up there at least 2 full days every week and doing a lot of work from our site in New Paltz. I don't know if there's any questions, and if not, I can hand it over to my partner. Go ahead, Eric.
I just have a couple of quick questions. So you mentioned about 50 families. So 50 families have volunteered to take part in
No, the 50 families are in New Paltz.
Oh, they're in New Paltz.
And that's for that one, what we call the ecology box. And you're going to see when you come see us, we're going to show you everything. The ecology box is rated for 1,000 pounds a week. And it's pretty amazing.
And that's there at your gardens that we saw.
You saw that too, right?
Yeah.
We have that at the gardens, and we have it at the site near the church in Hurley. So it's something like you got to see it to believe it. And one of the women who we went to their house today and installed the composter, she said that sold me when we went for that tour. And while she was there, some people came in and actually utilized it, lifted up the lid, put the waste in, and covered it up. And she said, just struck me that no one was overseeing it. There was that community responsibility. We've had it over a year now there. So it's not like, well, it's new. It's growing. Yeah, go ahead.
And the pilot program lasts until the end of August. Is that correct?
Well, technically, I think we're going to have to buy some time, and the reason for that is because we signed the contract so late in May, we
right.
couldn't get into the schools, and that's where we're going to get those households with children, and that's where we really want to also have a true sampling of the waste. We feel we're going to have a lot more waste. I don't know, though, the way kids eat, hard to say, but a true sampling is going to be some single family households, some 2-person households, and families with children. So that's, yeah.
Legislator Collins, and then Legislator Hall.
The community food drop off, does it need to be in Hurley? I've got a property that has, it's Hurley and on the driveway. Land itself is Woodstock. It's on Zena Road. I don't know if that would work for this particular thing or not.
Well, you know, when you look at the usership of the transfer station, it's 529 people from outside of Hurley and 1,006 people from Hurley residents. And what makes that significant is that the transfer station as a model is a good model because it's serving a geographic area. And, you know, it provides a substantial service that the town of Hurley is responsible for. So when you think of capacity, we would like to have community capacity of 100 tons per year. And we would like to have that dispersed throughout the whole service area.
That would be perfect.
So what you're talking about fits in, because
I can't promise I can use that site, but I can ask.
Yeah, that'd be great. Be and greatly then, appreciated.
You know, a person could actually come and see it in process.
Right.
And we're going to be building a demonstration model at the transfer station. So we have the site plan done for it already. But, you know, we've just in the feedback we've gotten from people, they would like to have that model in their own communities.
Yeah. That drop-off is really attractive. Not everybody wants backyard, and right. Not everybody wants to go all the way out to that transfer station. You know, so we have learned early on that one size does not fit all. Like, you really need to accommodate the needs of the community if you're seriously going to get that food waste out of the waste stream.
Yeah, I'll check with them.
Thank you.
Legislator Nolan, and then Legislator Green.
I love this, and I think you're right that it is coming. We have a volunteer in Shandaken who's doing it, and I think there are other communities that have some volunteer efforts starting. Your model is very good to have, you know, empower people to do it at their own residence. Also have the transfer station, which is common site. That's where the big collection is in Shandaken at this point. And then I think community sites that might be scattered around just make it that much more accessible. So I think it's really good, and like to move to it. You know, I'd be eager to discuss what the county needs to do to be supportive.
Legislator Green, and then Legislator Stim.
First of all, I think it's great that this pilot project is starting. I think that it's true that one size doesn't fit all, but this is a really good model that can be easily replicated. And when we were talking about the Ulster County Fair, Mark Ryder made it clear that he doesn't want to compete with or stop either your efforts or community compost or what's already going on in New Paltz, for example, which they're composting. So I think it's going to be identifying what works. But my question is about things that are not compostable, not food waste, I don't know what you're doing, so a paper or, you know, what else is compostable, but what about other forms of waste diversion? Is that included in the program?
It is, and our goal is 90%. So if you were to our contract, if you go, we're in the process of getting it, you know, totally fleshed out. But if you went to the Town of Hurley website, we have a button on the bottom, kind of in the line of buttons with the highway department and so forth. There's a Zero Waste Initiative, and that will bring you to our page. And on our page right now is all of the resolutions, the RFP, and our contract, which is in itself a model. And we had them put all of that there so that you would be able to actually follow the timeline, because it's all dated. And then you would see the process, and then you would see what the goals of the whole project is. We have focused in on food waste because, one, only, you know, 1% of the food waste is being recovered. And once you remove the food waste, you have all of the options for all of the remaining waste. So with that, we have the different areas, you know, from everything from the backyard. Hurley, 93% of the people own their own properties. So we look at the demographics. The culture is a backyard culture, you know. So you know, the average person we ask, well, you know, I don't have a burn barrel anymore.
Yeah.
But I know,
yeah.
You know, so that's kind of an indicator of what people are looking to do, and everyone has the need for the compost. And when we go out, we give them, you know, we give them a sample of our compost, and you know.
I'm really asking about the other.
I understand that.
Okay.
So that now, with the reorganization of the transfer station, we have, and getting back to the legislator's question, what can the county do, right? So right now, the Resource Recovery Agency combines the construction and demolition debris with the MSW and sends it all to the landfill. You know, so that's one area. The whole reuse center that was planned, that's another area, but it's kind of like the approach we take to it is like peeling an onion. So when you look at the Town of Hurley waste stream, because of the demographics, there's a lot of valuable material, and then when you start to look at how you can recover that material and put it to use according to the regulations, it has to be part of the waste control plan. You know, so we are writing those plans right now that provide the approach to how we're going to manage this material. And that will be part of our first group of grants that we go after. You know, I want to get right into what the county can do. And the implementation plan, you know, would have basically three components to it. You know, now that we're in the trenches and really into it. For example, New Paltz is in a leadership position. So when you look at New Paltz and you ask what's working, New Paltz has, you know, our, you know, community drop-off at the church, at the library, at the community rec center. It has a compost facility at the town transfer station. It has a reuse center at the town transfer station. It is a case study. Now, if that case study was done, and we had the information from that case study, as we roll out New Paltz, I mean our Hurley, what we would be able to do is right now, the way it is, it's everything is a one-off, and zero waste. When you look around, you know, even from the beginning of this conversation, you see, you hear what's happening in Crahox and what's happening, and you know, all the different communities are beginning to do something, and beginning to address the resolution 451 in some way. The county should be able to look at that and provide that information. That's like a primary thing that we all could use. And then secondly, it is the model the model community, and Hurley has stepped up to say that we are willing to invest in becoming the model community. And they have funded the startup. And the way we broke it up in that contract is a very logical thing to do, because you need to put a bunch of things in place before the what's in the contract is called the commencement. And in 3 months, the board is going to be able to understand what it's going to cost based on solid information. So that whole process should be studied by a third party, because it's that third party consultant that brings their experience to it that can substantiate and then present it, make it available to the rest of the county. And then there's a couple of different funding areas. One funding area is the county is a silver certified in ClimateSmart, has a silver certification. If there's a partnership between, say, the town of Hurley and the county, preliminarily the grants are going to be $50,000 to $250,000. Going to ClimateSmart from the Bond Act money, and it's competitive. You know, ClimateSmart money is competitive. So if the county and Hurley, which is a bronze, the county with silver, makes it for a joint application, makes it for a very competitive application, because I think there's only three other counties in the state that have silver certification, three or four. So that when you start to look at the big picture, all of that could be included in the implementation plan, and it would make the implementation plan part of the solid waste plan. So the county is currently spending thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars trying to site a landfill. The county has been trying to site a landfill for the last 25 years. And there's always going to be opposition. But the reality is that our zero waste system needs to be funded at the same rate as siting a landfill is funded. And if we can take, you know, bring Ulster into or the Ulster waste stream into the modern age, we can have our lifestyle and eliminate our solid waste impact on the planet. And what demonstrates that is what we've done at the Garlic Festival. Now, we recover 90% of that waste. Why isn't that rolled out to all of the festivals?
Yeah.
You know, we're in our third year, and that is the big festival model. The small community festival that we do in New Paltz, we recover 95 to 97% of the way. And when you look at the place that Ulster has in tourism in the Hudson Valley, Ulster's number one. And we get 4 million people come to Ulster to enjoy our environment, and we have to manage all of that waste. And that waste from them is 90% recoverable. And that's what we proved. And if you think about what could be done with $1 from each one of those people that are willing to pay it to preserve the environment they came here to enjoy. You know, right now, our total capacity for composting, and that's why we focused in on backyard and community, our total commercial is 10,000 tons. Well, we know that we believe we produce 40,000 tons of food waste. And when the full law kicks in, which is going to be at the beginning of this year, according to P2I, that is going to use up all of our capacity. And we see just from our end, how much our capacity has grown with the early adapter group. So if you take like one of our new customers, and you know, this in itself is a case study, Rocking Horse Ranch, right? We started taking material from Rocking Horse Ranch. Rocking Horse Ranch produces 3 tons
a week.
It's one spot. And so now we've passed these laws, and over on the other side, we're not systematically creating the infrastructure to manage. I mean, we have created a on-farm model that many of you have seen, and what it is, it's not on-farm composting. It's municipal composting on a farm. And there's a big difference. But now you look at just the farm, you know, the farming industry is the largest industry here in Ulster County. And you look at that model, how can that model be used to increase our capacity? So it's all of those things, and the county, the implementation plan could address that. It doesn't have to get into the specifics of each material, but it does have to provide the policies that allow those things to move forward. You know, we have farmers coming to us from New Jersey. There's no composting, you know, commercial composting in New Jersey. And they're coming here to look at our model and looking at how it could work for them.
Legislator Stewart, did you say you had something?
I was just going to say I'm so glad that this process is moving forward.
Really appreciative that you're listening. And look, there's only the two of us in Greenway,
yeah.
And there's. This sound, you know, there are like no other companies, even the other smaller composters who are hanging on by a thread, truthfully. There's no other companies out there that are doing what we're doing. And we really, I have to tell you, we work so much for almost nothing, you know, to get this work done, to put in the extra time. We are that committed because we know it's what's needed. And let me tell you, there's no county better than Ulster. We are so set to do this. We have the 19 transfer stations. We have, I think, a progressive group of legislators that are leading. And we just, what we're really asking is if you get that zero waste implementation plan out of committee and into the other legislators and you get it passed, it gives a framework. I mean, we are scrounging and begging for funding and places. And like I say, it's only the two of us, and we're not getting any younger, to be honest. You know, we want to lead.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, so appreciate all this. And, you know, I think that there is a consensus about trying to move towards zero waste for all the reasons that you've said and more. But I don't know what the path is for moving the zero waste implementation plan out of this committee. I didn't know it was in this committee. I don't know there's a resolution about it. So those that have that, I think, should bring it forward in that kind of concrete way so that we can take concrete action. I think that a bunch of us have been trying to brainstorm about funding, and I would just mention it here.
that perhaps some of the ARPA ag money, which needs to be obligated by the end of the year, could be brought in to look at doing something with farmers that you've just mentioned, and maybe tying that with festivals across the county. I think it's consistent with the thrust of that funding. And if not, then let's find something else. You know, it's not necessarily our job to do that kind of work, brainstorming in committee. But I'll say that much out loud as a, you know, kind of example of what we can then try to do. I think that having something, and we have to go to the UCRRA, when you talk about we could fund this like we fund the identification of a landfill site, that's not Ulster County legislature or executive that's doing that. That's the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, which is semi-independent or an independent. So they have a stake in this. And so I think pushing on them to see what they can come up with here also makes sense. Because I understand you need to scale up if you're going to do more. And for that, you need some predictability. So sympathetic. I think you made a very good presentation about what you're already doing. And I'm committed to working to try to get more of this happening. You know, maybe even to hire your group to bring to this legislature information about the volunteer efforts that are taking place. It's a small farmer in Shandaken that decided that it would be beneficial to have compost and started collecting it and went from a quarter of a big tub, garbage can size, to now multiple garbage can sizes and multiple sites, just in, you know, word of mouth mainly.
Like sourdough.
Yeah, like sourdough. Yeah. But it does need some management to try to bring those benefits uniformly across the county. And so you are clearly leaders, and so I would just thank you for what you've brought us and say that we need to do some work before the taking some
legislator
next steps.
Litz, and then Legislator Stewart, and then let's try to wrap it up so we can get through the rest of the
I'm glad the legislature is finally taking this on. Farmers have been doing it for years. My family started composting 98 years ago. Right now you talk about zero waste. I take in about 8.5 ton of waste and recycle it. I generate, let's see, the last time my household garbage was picked up was the first week of May. And right now I have a half of a kitchen garbage bag full. So I generate one kitchen bag of garbage every month and a half. So you just got to catch up. The farmers have been doing it. I'm pretty close to zero waste. So it's cultural change. Farmers have been doing it for years. It's in their culture. We just got to get the rest of the county to switch towards that culture.
Legislator Stewart. Proud of it, too, I want
to say. Farmers too hard working. We don't have time to go expounding on our pride.
Legislator Stewart.
I just want to say I'm so glad that this is moving forward, and again, I'm disappointed that the county executive chose not to support this program the way that I would have liked to have seen it done. We've had this discussion before, but anyway, I'm disappointed that did not happen, but I am glad that the town of Hurley, you know, pulled themselves up by the bootstraps and has, you know, provided the funds necessary for this to move forward. I also want to say that I have spoken to the chair of the legislature about trying to resurrect the zero waste implementation plan that I believe has been hanging around since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And Chair Criswell says that is something that he, you know, would be interested in pursuing, and he was going to speak with Chair Hewitt about that. I'm not sure if that conversation has happened yet or not, but that has been brought up. So that's definitely on our radar. And my last question was just real quick. For the little drop-off composting locations. I was curious if you had approached the Hurley Reformed Church and the Meyer Elementary School.
We met with Bill Appleyard, and he was busy, really busy, because he was going away, and then he was having some kind of medical surgery, something.
Yes.
So that's kind of like later. We did actually drew up a site plan, sent it to him. He's brought it to his board. That's gone no further. And that was that thing of signing May 31st contract,
because our next step will be to get into that elementary school, because once you get the kids, the parents just have to pay attention.
Right.
You know, so yes. That's,
so I was going to volunteer my assistance in working with those two groups.
That'd be great. That'd be great. So we haven't gone very far with Bill. It was an intro. We walked the site.
Yes.
I want to add one more thing. I know you're trying to wrap it up. When we say one size doesn't fit all, we just have it over in Poughkeepsie, big, big old house that was rehabbed for a transitional housing for 14 residents lived there. And we put in the backyard composter, the whole thing. And it really is a testimony that people can be, and these are young urban kids, basically young people, they can be trained to do this and hopefully begin to appreciate what they're really doing. So, yeah, that to me opens up like maybe apartment houses, that kind of thing, but that's down the road a bit. Sorry.
our goal is to put in 200 around the Hudson Valley.
Let me write that down.
Jackson and Josephine.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
And if I may, just to point out that the Reform Committee report is coming up to tie that together.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was nice that you had us given there too. That was how I think Mark kind of got a view of us.
Resolutions for July 16th, 2024 legislative session. Resolution number 356, establishing a policy requiring consideration of use of hemp insulation in certain Ulster County capital construction projects. The resolution was discussed last month and postponed. The copy provided has a number of amendments that Committee Chair Hewitt would like everyone to review, and he asked that the resolution be postponed while he continues to work with the executive.
I make a motion to postpone for a month.
Okay. I get a second?
Also second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 360, confirming appointment of members to the Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council.
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Congratulations.
Yes. And our representative is sitting here. So.
Resolution number 373, authorizing the Department of the Environment to submit an application to the 2024 New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Water Quality Improvement Project Program via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application, Department of the Environment.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Discussion on this.
Okay.
Can you give us a background on it?
Surely. This was submitted in anticipation of a grant application for a section of eroding stream bay along the upper Asopus Creek. For the immediate future, they are most likely seeking some other funding in the near term. So we could ask that this actually be postponed.
So when you say they, do you mean the town of Shandaken or the vendor that's in that area or some other entity? Who's applying for other funds?
So the county will be pursuing
the county will be
funds.
I withdraw my prior motion, and if the second is also withdrawn, I'll make a motion to postpone for a month.
Need a second to postpone for a month?
I'll second that.
373?
Yes.
373, yeah.
Okay. All in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 374, authorizing the Department of the Environment to submit an application to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation 2024 non-agricultural, non-point source planning and municipal separate storm sewer system mapping grant via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application Department of the Environment.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Discussion?
If I may,
yes.
Just to provide a little bit of context, this is another application that we are currently preparing to be submitted later this month with the consolidated funding application. Some of the legislators may be familiar with the MS4, the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer Regulatory and Permit Requirement from the DEC. This is a program that about 15 years ago, when there was a new permit at the time, there was a lot of attention and there was a lot of requirements placed on municipalities. The county at that time helped the initial round of outfall mapping that was done among the MS4 communities. There were also additional requirements regarding training of municipal employees to understand the rules of the stormwater program, as well as being able to review and approve different kinds of plans and also do education and outreach around non-point source pollution. The DEC, after several years of delay, has just released a new MS4 permit with additional requirements and also restructuring the program, which again creates some new requirements on the municipality. So we're looking to put together an application that would again allow the county to play a leadership role in supporting the municipalities in mapping and also learning about the requirements of the permit, as well as educating their residents around non-point source water quality issues.
So this would be $400,000, and 90% of it would be New York State, and 10% yes. Ulster County.
Thank you. Where are we at?
So you want to call the vote again, since okay. We had some further discussion?
Okay. Okay. Motion to adopt the resolution. Can I get a motion to adopt the resolution?
Yeah, I made it.
Second.
Okay. Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 375, authorizing the Department of the Environment to submit an application to the New York State Climate Smart Communities Grant Program via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application Department of the Environment.
I'll move it, but I'd like some discussion on it as well.
Sure.
If there, is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
We're going to have the discussion next.
Okay.
This is, another grant application through the consolidated funding application the end of this month. This one is particularly relevant to the discussion that the committee just heard regarding organics diversion. In this application, what we're hoping to do is to apply to the Climate Smart Communities Program, because just as Mr. Jackson said, we are a silver certified community that affords us 10 points out of 100 right off the bat, to look at a program that would be in conjunction with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, because only municipalities are eligible to apply for this grant. We can partner with UCRA as our public benefit agency that takes care of waste and recycling issues, and look to create a focused program on organics. We're still going through the initial phases of scoping this grant application. The upper limits on these implementation grants are actually $2 million. So they are rather large grants. We were successful in, I believe it was 2018, in again the same grant pool in partnership with Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency with about a $250,000 grant award that allowed them to significantly improve their composting program.
We've had some initial discussions to talk about the distributed model that we could employ in the county and how that would look with transfer stations, with potentially then going out for additional vendors, which can be local organizations working in the field as kind of the, to help also deploy that program.
Legislator Stewart and then Legislator Noll.
So this is basically the grant that you were referring to when we were discussing the issue with Hurley.
Right. So again, and just for the record, I would state that the county executive very much, and it's part of the executive order, we need to aggressively look at diverting food waste.
Right.
However, it was more a matter of process regarding the Hurley project that was the flag on our end.
Right.
This would allow us to actually already, if we were successful in doing this, and even if we're not, the activity of scoping this and kind of coming up with a plan allows us to look at the system and how we would want to deploy that and what we could do kind of from a programmatic area, what we could do, you know, perhaps support for businesses or events, better support for the food waste prevention law that the county has on the books, and then also looking at how do we leverage that great system of the municipal transfer centers as those kind of hubs of the geographic collection or community collection into an application to scale up.
So we could conceivably use money from these grants to start similar programs that Greenway is doing in Hurley currently in five other
right
transfer stations around the county.
Yes, to look at more than one municipality. Yes.
So that sounds very promising. You also had mentioned this could be used for events, so conceivably we could use this to address the issue of composting at the Ulster County Fair.
You know, it was an interesting discussion that kind of helped a lot of the times when I'm also a member of the UCRA Reform Review Committee, and a lot of time, and as Legislator Green knows, in that committee has been spent looking at the state solid waste management plan, which has metrics that are very, very much tied to per capita, right? So looking at your population, looking at how much waste you're generating, and kind of, you know, coming up with your, how much waste are they, is, you know, that individual, per an individual are you producing per week. It really does lose the nuance of the fact that we have a tourism economy here, and that I know I can see from walking or, you know, around Uptown Kingston or going to an event, waste, you know, like garbage cans overflowing with the single-use products and just, you know, stuff from tourists coming through the area. So I think that that's a good way, and I just reached out to tourism to get some specific numbers around how many events we have, how many people frequent those events, how many visitors do we have, what's their average stay, and then we can start to actually tease that out. And that will actually complement what's ongoing right now, which is a sustainable tourism plan. So it starts to really come together.
When you have those figures in a format mm-hmm. that you would be able or willing to share,
yes.
is that something you could share with
yes. people? And also, by next month, we'll have submitted the grant application, and we can certainly share the scope of work, because that will be there's not a lot on paper right now, but it's a hard deadline for the CFA, so it'll have to get there.
Legislator Noll.
That was actually my question.
The deadline is coming up, and so there are some blank places in this resolution that have to do with how much money we would be asking for, and different categories get different percentages of match from the county, I think, maybe. It says 20% to 50% in a couple of places.
20% to 50% depends upon the population that's considered part of a disadvantaged community. So depending on they use it to weigh the match that's required. We were very successful last time in using match that was based on the operation cost of UCRA to process the compost. They track their time, materials, fuel, labor, everything based on what's the solid waste, and then what is, you know, the time of the employee spent turning the piles, all the equipment costs there. And we were able last time to come up with a dollar per pound per ton rate and use that as the match. 50% is a challenging match to meet for a grant. However, in the past, DEC has been pretty willing to entertain things like, you know, using the cost of actually producing the end product as the match.
Follow on to say that even if it were 50%,
I would support it at this point, you know, because I think the amounts that we're shipping go down, and there's a complex time in which, you know, because there are issues of scale where shipping less may not actually help you that much, but you have to go through that in order to get to the place where it does help you a lot. And we're at that point, in my view.
Yep. And I'd have to say, just it's a quick comment, but from doing all the calculations in support of the prior grant application, but they, one of the metrics that they use to rate the grant applications is the greenhouse gas emissions reductions. And these projects tend to score fantastically well, again, because you use an EPA model to look at the emissions reduction per ton of the solid waste handled, and then it's a very straightforward calculation as far as the trucks that get 4 miles per gallon and their truck travel to and from Seneca Falls.
Thank you so much.
Moving on to resolution.
We have to vote on this one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We did that.
We already voted on this?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was Nolan was a motion and then Liz second.
Thank you.
It was a motion to discuss.
Yes.
I'll make a motion for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That takes care of that.
Thank you.
Resolution 382, amending capital project number 653, Hall of Records Building Rooftop Solar Array Project for Construction Services. Amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Building and Grounds.
Happy to move it.
I'll second it. Manna Jo was going to move it.
Oh, Manna Jo moves it. Legislator Litz can second. You want to be the make the motion
rooftop
on this
solar.
Roof? On well, it's actually may not end up being rooftop, but it is rooftop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to be the person who makes the motion?
I'll move it. Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 385, authorizing the planning department to submit an application to for a Building Cleaner Communities grant to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application for the Government Operations Center at Paradise Lane, New Paltz, Department of Planning.
I'm happy to move it.
Chairman, before you move it, I will be abstaining from this, and my name has to be removed as a sponsor. I'm listed as a sponsor, and I am not a sponsor.
This came up in another committee, and it's fine for it to just have one sponsor, but I would actually be delighted to have my name added as a sponsor. Discussion on this?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, and I will move it. My understanding is this is for a max of $2 million grant award, and it would be 40% Ulster County and 60% New York State. That's for geothermal. And I am willing to become the geothermal advocate for Ulster County. Did somebody second?
I will second that.
Is that an elected position or?
Well,
self-appointed.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried.
Abstain.
Abstain.
One abstain. One abstain. Resolution number 386, authorizing the planning department to submit an application for a Building Cleaner Communities grant to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application for the Community Wellness Hub located at 368 Broadway, Kingston, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Record Legislator Green is the second. That's great.
Motion to.
Herb Litz.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 387, authorizing the Planning Department to submit an application to the New York Environmental Facilities Corporation via the NYSEFC Customer Portal Department of Planning.
I am very happy to move this. The prior resolution was geothermal, but this is for porous pavement, stormwater design, green swales, and it's 90% New York State.
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
You want to write in abstain?
Okay.
So let's just
all right.
Let's just go with this because I know that.
Okay. The Ulster County 70x30 Renewable Energy Implementation Plan.
We're up to that?
Yes.
Okay. When it just passed us around, we emailed it, but very proud of the fact that we were able to pull this together. It is a very comprehensive but also very preliminary recommendation or series of recommendations for the plan that Ulster County be hopefully the first in New York State to achieve 70% renewable energy generation. That is a tall order, there's no doubt about it. And there is a section on geothermal, which I did a lot of research for because I had a very superficial knowledge. And I was joined by a woman named Jean Bergman that somebody recommended, who is an expert. So together we did that section. There's a section on wind, water, solar, et cetera. And our intention was to get a preliminary draft and take comment from the committee, take comment from the public, meet with stakeholders, including Central Hudson, and some of the state agencies to be sure that we're on the right track, and both raise the concern about obstacles. The major obstacles is insufficient grid capacity or very expensive interconnection, and also we still have some NIMBY effect in terms of people not wanting to look at solar. On the other hand, we have some excellent examples. For example, SUNY New Paltz not only has a good sized solar system, but has the battery backup to make that a microgrid. So if the grid goes down, their essential services will be able to continue. You can read, you know, a section at a time. It's a lot of information. We did we used AI to create an executive summary, which a human being then made sure was correct. And, you know, if there's any concerns or questions, but we don't have to do this all right now. We're going to take the summer to meet with stakeholders, refine it, get it really the way it needs to be, and have it be very concrete in terms of step by step, what do we do to get there, and how do we pay for it. I am just so proud of the team of people that came together, took this seriously, shared their extensive knowledge. And some people just did editing, other people actually wrote sections, and we will acknowledge that at the end. It was everything we could do to get this to this committee in time. We said end of June and took a couple extra days, but I have to say it's one of the things that I am most proud of in terms of making a commitment 6 months ago, pulling together what it's called a working group. I call them a brain trust, and really doing what I think most people would consider a very comprehensive job that will take comments, will make formal recommendations in September, and basically that gives us 5 years to implement a very daunting task.
Thank you for saying this round, by the way.
Yeah. And we did send a PDF electronically, so you know, if you're having a hard time falling asleep, but really seriously, we would most welcome comments. And this is not just solar. We will do one more solar mapping training. I don't have the dates yet, but anyway, just want to be sure. Couple other things I want to touch on, but they're related to Climate Smart. I think we're good on this, unless
okay.
We want to back up to upper reform, or did I somehow miss that?
Oh no, I skipped over because I didn't think we had anything for it. So my apologies. Okay. If you have something, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to just say the main thing that I think that has come out of the Upper Reform Committee is getting the different silos, you know, the executive branch, the legislative branch, UCRA, the comptroller's office, and we're going to be, you know, seeking other input. But right now, we couldn't quite get it ready for this meeting, but it will definitely be ready for the August meeting. And this, just to circulate, this is, I believe, the most current draft, another huge document. And Mike Baden is chairing, and he's really pulled together so many different ideas. I would say that the highest level of consensus is to maximize waste diversion. And I think you all saw my note this week saying that if you maximize waste diversion, you know, wherever a landfill is sited, if we can site one, you have less truck traffic. You pull out compostables and sheetrock, you're dealing with the odor, and less possibility of methane being released into the atmosphere by composting or by recycling sheetrock. That smell of rotten eggs is hydrogen sulfide, which is what comes when sheetrock is breaking down in a landfill. So maximum waste diversion, there is a high level of consensus that we should site a small landfill. We're still joking about it being the petite green landfill. I also think that there should be a very fair host community benefit. Folks saw my note. I won't reiterate that, but I feel like we solved a lot of the problems. There are a couple things for which there is a majority opinion and a minority opinion where we just couldn't completely come to consensus, but we had a list of major issues to vote on. We're not calling for the agency to be disbanded. There's a question about the bonding, the fact that they have to come to the legislature for $500,000. if they intend to bond, because we're the safety net. I think I may have been the only one who feels that that should continue. There are pros and cons, and those will be listed. Expand the board to 9 members, 5 of which the legislature would appoint, 3 from the executive branch, and I think one from the Town Supervisors Association. And strong support for finishing the zero waste plan, for moving ahead with the Reuse Innovation Center. I think that's kind of.
I was just wondering if either you or Deputy Executive Ball might explain or address what has been the discussion as far as post-community, like an incentive package.
There hasn't been a focused discussion on host community benefit. The last time there was a, well, let me say the original time when we tried to site a landfill 30-some years ago, there was a whole team pulled together. It included the League of Women Voters and commercial businesses, and all sectors were represented, and they came up with a very fair host community benefit. Unfortunately, they were dissolved after they finished that task.
Right.
I think that was a mistake, but that's.
Because I was just a little surprised when I saw, you know, community announced as a possible site, and it seemed to me like if you were going to do that, it would have been helpful to have had this already in place, a host community benefit package. But
Ms. Lavelle, and then legislative.
If I may, I just wanted to jump in here, that I think the most important piece of this is that that was not a siting study. That was a very high-level screening.
Right.
So I think one of the things that the committee had was the regional permit administrator from DEC, along with the regional, you know, director,
right,
along with some other high-level permit staff, solid waste staff, came in to talk to us about some of the reality of the Part 360 permit. There are a very long list of what even is the first step of looking at the suitability of a site.
Yeah.
It's very particular around the geology and the way that groundwater moves through the area.
Yeah.
Because the first and foremost thing that they have to look at is how can they protect that local groundwater system from what, you know, a landfill can contain, yeah, right? So that is the first level of screening that would happen, and then there have to be sit down meetings with DEC. Then you have to come in and bring additional consultants in to do a more thorough feasibility report, and then you have an entire secret process on top of the 360, the Part 360 permitting process.
I'm sorry, Legislator Roberts, and then Legislator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to start off by answering or chiming in on what Eric brought up, Legislator Stewart, with the host community benefit. If they're talking about a small landfill, which I don't think that's going to happen, it's not going to be cost efficient, and there will not be a host community benefit. In order for a host community benefit to happen and make it sizable, you're going to need to import MSW from other counties. Executive Director or County Exec, Deputy County Exec Lavelle is right. It's going to take at least 10 years to site a landfill, if at all, and we should be running a parallel path on other options. At the end of the day, I don't think a landfill is going to happen. We should have, the resource recovery should have brought in the people in Wawarsing, just like they should have brought in Plattick Hill before they sandbagged them with this report. I don't think Supervisor Houck had more than 24 hours notice before this report came out. And as for the resource recovery reform committee, I like to call it the Resource No Reform Committee, because this committee was formed to begin with not to do all these environmental impact studies and make recommendations, but how to rein in resource recovery from the drama and all the overspending over the years. And we're going to add more board members. Right now it's 4-1 split, majority minority. If this plan goes in effect, it's going to be 8-1 majority, one pick for the minority, which is definitely not fair. Last, I'd just like to say giving them back bonding authority is a big mistake. They ran up a $40 million tab, and we were on the hook for it if something happened to them. And again, that could happen again, and we should be prepared for that. You know, just because there's not a net service fee now with flow control, there very well could be. If they run a deficit, they could come back. There's nothing to say in the current contract that they can't hit us up for a net service fee.
Thank you. Legislator Green and Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this should have been brought forward as a single location. There are other locations that are recommended for further study, and I think it should have been sequenced. I did send around my thoughts on this, but I want us to let the RRA do their work, because we are under time pressure. It's very possible that Seneca Meadows won't get approved to expand. And in any case, it's just very costly in terms of dollars and in terms of environmental impact. I think we can, with maximum diversion, manage our waste within our borders. But I was surprised that it was presented as a almost a fait accompli. And I read the report, I looked at the slides and the recommendations, and it seems to me that there are other alternatives and possibilities that should be considered. You will remember that I did not vote for the Flatikill, the memorializing resolution that said no landfill in Flatikill. I absolutely agree with that, but I thought it was very bad precedent, and I feel like that precedent is now playing out, that whatever site or sites are brought forward, the municipality is going to respond by seeking a memorializing resolution. We must find a solution, and I think local self-reliance should be a basic principle.
Thank you. Did we cover the Climate Smart Committee thing?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
We did. We're on
UCRA
reform, and we did 70.
We have 15 minutes left to cover the rest of this material here.
I just want to say that I agree a lot of what Legislator Roberts said, and I would like, maybe if there's a way for the Deputy Executive Director to share some of those comments from the DEC. In reviewing the slides and the report, it does look like there's several communities that were identified. It did come down to focusing on one for further feasibility. And the thing that I noticed at the end of the slides was, if none of these sites are feasible, then we have to pursue a regional approach. I was ready to turn our attention fully to a regional approach back when, at that time, Chair Ken Ronk of the legislature was pursuing a regional approach. I think that's what we're going to have to do. But we're almost at the end, I think, of a process that these committees insisted that the UCRRA go through. And they've been doing it. They're now at the stage of DEC coming in and giving us their comments. I think they're going to be sobering. I think they should
You know, if they are what I expect them to be, then I think we have to be sobered and start to look at the compromise of doing everything we can within Ulster County in terms of zero waste, and then having a regional siting, which is going to be, I would, you know, I don't know what how to put a magnitude on it, but much, much, much easier than in an area this close to the New York City watershed with already 70%+ of the lands in public or private conservation. I mean, there's just very few sites. So I'm sympathetic to the sites that have been identified as being worthy of the closest last look, but that's what I think of it as. And so I'm willing to go along with that process. But I think we should be clear-sighted about what this area has in terms of geology as well. Our geology is not what you would ask to be given if you were allowed to site a landfill anywhere. You'd want a lot more basins like the Ashokan Reservoir, but we're already using that for something, like drinking water supply for 9 million people.
Thank you. Climate Smart Committee?
Yeah, that we can be quick. We did have a meeting with the Environmental Management Council because the Climate Smart Committee has not been as active as it was, say, a year ago. It was actually more active during COVID because we weren't meeting in person and people were zooming in and giving reports and sharing information. But I think the upshot of the meeting with the EMC is that we're going to have a joint meeting quarterly so that they get their work done, Climate Smart, but we can share information. The big thing I want to call to your attention is that there was enough interest that we are going to move forward with Climate Row at the Ulster County Fair. And so I'll be sending out an invitation with a registration form and a timesheet. They're 4-hour blocks, 10 to 2, 2 to 6, and 6 to 10 for the better part of 6 days. I think it's July 30th to August 4th. And so if anyone can do a shift or, you know, share that invitation with your constituents, we still have displays that we can recycle. We can make some new displays. We can let people know about the outcome of the reform committee and of the renewable energy plan. We'll be partnering with the Environmental Management Council. There was interest there, the Climate Smart Committee, possibly, definitely Communities for Local Power and probably 4 or 5 others. So, but we only have better part of 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks to get this together and take advantage and do that education. As we have for the past few years. One of the issues is that the fair is not being very proactive with regard to managing their solid waste. And one of the suggestions that came up is that it be required in the next contract with the Ag Society. So I'm not sure who Ag Society reports to. Does anybody know that? Or
it's in flux right now, I think.
It's in flux.
Yeah.
But they will need another contract for next year. Their contract is in place for this year.
And I made that suggestion to Chair Criswell and to Chair Sperry.
I think it's under economic development.
Yes, so I'm just mentioning that to everyone because, well, first of all, we heard a report about what the potential for recycling at public events, and I will say that, you know, back when I was at the RRA, we were diverting 72% of the waste stream with a team of 60 volunteers who worked a shift and got to hang out at the fair. And it included the young people from the Kingston Read and Write program. And it was just a real wonderful model. And that needs to be restored so that when people go to the fair, they're learning about climate solutions and they're seeing effective waste diversion.
Thank you, Legislator Green.
Are the Climate Corps volunteers, are they going to be participating?
I haven't heard.
Yeah.
Amanda, if you can check that through and get back to me, I'll be sure to send you and Europa, and I know how stretched you are, and I'm very sympathetic to that, but you know, if you can share that with the Climate Corps volunteers. They don't all have to, but if a handful of them do, you know, we have somewhere between 15 and 20 shifts to fill. So, and it's a lot of fun, and we do a training the week before by Zoom, so people are well prepared when they get there.
Thank you. Legislator Roberts, would you be able to do the one item under new business and the your idea for the composting machine?
In 2 minutes or less?
No. No. I just thought I'd put
so I could combine them.
Sure.
I presented the idea of a 24-hour recycling convenience center several months ago. Because of my scheduling conflicts, I haven't got a chance to come up and talk to you about it. I'm going to be submitting it as a resolution next month for either adoption or further conversation. The other one I sent to you, I was out in California. I was staying at my sister and her boyfriend's house, and come to find out he's a staunch environmentalist and actually invented a dehydration machine that takes food waste, compost, including bones and seafood, down reduces it by 80% waste by volume and pounds, and it takes about a couple of hours to do that instead of doing it the natural way. And it also, when it's done, it could be used for mulch and or livestock feed. And if anybody wants any further information, I can send you links on it.
Love to
yes.
Just say that at the law enforcement center, we use a dehydrator to manage the food waste there before we then send it, the dehydrated waste, to the compost.
Great.
So, but there needs to be lots more units that are more affordable.
Yeah, and I was surprised at the cost. Not that I'm, you know, hawking this for him, but it's, you know, a machine that of that caliber. That something like the jail costs about $22,000, yeah, which is not a lot in the scheme of things.
Did you maybe want to send that link to Liz so that she could distribute
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thanks. Update on the Lower Esopus Stream Management Study?
Yeah, I participated in a meeting last week with Director Doyle and Deputy Executive I'm sorry, Kristen's last name is Wilson, right?
Wilson.
I'm sorry, I blanked there on her name. Yes, Mary McNamara, a bunch of other folks were involved. We are hoping, and based on this conversation with Director Doyle and the rest of the group, we are hoping to create a position, perhaps at Soil and Water, and this position would be in charge of not only implementing what is suggested in the Lower Esopus Stream Management Plan, but also in a much broader view, serving as a watershed coordinator for the entire county. So, and hopefully this position, like I said, would come under the supervision of Soil and Water, but they would actually be housed at the Department of the Environment. And we're still working out a lot of details. We are putting together a sample resolution that could go out to the municipalities to come out in support of the findings of that plan. So there's a lot of balls in the air right now, and I really need to speak with Deputy Executive Wilson to see exactly where we are in this whole situation. But that's kind of the direction we're heading right now.
Thank you. Legislator Litch.
So this position is going to be under the auspices of Soil and Water?
That's the thinking currently.
So we need to know that now because Soil and Water is putting together the budget. So if you're going to increase what their responsibilities are, they're short staffed now. We're going to have to increase the budget to cover additional workforce.
Yes.
And housing someone who you are responsible for in another place has never worked as a supervisor because you got to sign their timesheet and you have not a clue what right. they're doing or where they are. And if they're going to work for Soil and Water, they should report to Soil and Water. And that's not possible because the building they report to, they're already at maximum space.
Which is why we were thinking of housing it at Department of Environment. But yeah.
And maybe the Department of Environment should oversee their personnel.
Legislative Green.
Why Soil and Water over? I know how understaffed Department of Environment is.
Right.
But that's a separate issue. Creating a new position, or I'm not even sure if it is a new position because it's similar to one that was vacated.
It's similar to the position that I got funding for last year, and then the funding wasn't used for the watershed coordinator. And so we're hoping to provide funding for that, but then the work that this person would do as it relates to the lower surface stream management study would come from the $2 million that's set aside and being administered by the Hudson River Foundation.
DEP money.
It's DEP money that they had to pay for releasing, turbulent stuff into the surface.
Right, I think I can help here. Ulster County Soil and Water already is actually the supervisor for a whole group of people that works in another site, the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management Project, which is a group that would be doing similar work to the work of a watershed coordinator in the lower Esopus. I wasn't aware that the coordinator would be for the whole county. I thought it was just for the lower Esopus communities that are not covered by some of those other management plans.
That's what we're discussing. So they wanted a watershed coordinator that would not be affiliated with New York City and their purview.
And so this idea that's on the table sounds plausible to me. I think it's also worth the executive's office looking at what adding a staff position in Department of Environment would achieve and whether that might be equally good or better in light of Legislator Litz's concerns of like trying to keep people working with other people and that it's a disadvantage of the proposal that's currently out there. I don't think anybody's tied into any of those and the conversations are just ongoing.
We're very much in the beginning stages and a lot of this was based on Director Doyle's
recommendations.
Thank you. Moving on to old business, county supported composting programs.
I think we already discussed
okay.
that.
All right. The Hurley pilot project, we discussed that. Mm-hmm. Timeline for hiring parks director.
I think we should postpone that until Chair Hewitt is here.
Okay.
And I also need to speak with Legislator Corcoran about that as well.
Okay. Can I get a motion? Or that's not a resolution. So, okay. Can I get a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.